an AppleViz original.
Part of our job is to work on making sure that everything that everyone makes at Apple is accessible. It's also about making sure that there's some really fun things to surprise and delight as many of the communities that we support as we can each year, and finding new ways and new communities as we move along. And I think this year, hopefully, is going to be another fantastic year.
On the technical side of things, and when you're buried in the year, just sorting out details and what features will do what, and you kind of get sort of lost in the trees, and coming out for WWDC, sort of look back and say, wow, these are some great features.
Our end goal is always to make sure that whether it is a young student, being asked, what do you want to be when you grow up, and saying, I want to be an engineer, or someone who is, you know, already an adult looking at going into developing, we want to make sure that there's a next generation of developers out there that are members of the blind community.
Hello and welcome to AppleViz Extra. This is episode number 75, and we are still in WWDC week. This is our third annual interview with Sarah Herlinger, and again, she is joined by Dean Hudson. And my name is Dave Nason. I'm joined in the hot seat, in the co-host, by Thomas Donville. Thomas, how are you today?
I'm doing great. What a week. Boy, this has been a busy week. We've got lots of cool stuff to cover, for sure.
Really has, yeah. We did a pretty long podcast on Monday night after the keynote. It was largely focused on kind of what we'd seen in the keynote, so the mainstream stuff. And so hopefully today we'll get a bit more information about what's changed for us in the accessibility space.
Absolutely.
So Sarah and Dean, thank you so much for joining us again. It's great to have you back.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. We always enjoy being able to spend some time with you both.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And I hope you hope you're both keeping well in these strange times.
Definitely. It has been some interesting months we've been going through, and I hope everyone out there is safe and well. But we are still making sure that everything keeps moving forward here at Apple.
Yeah, and what a week it's been, I'd say. It's always a hectic week, I'm sure, WWDC. And this year, that kind of bit different. How's it look this year for you guys in comparison to previous years?
Yeah, we're really excited. I think it's another great year. The team has really been firing on all cylinders, and everybody, you know, even working remotely, people have been able to create some really amazing new features. And that's always our goal, you know, as much as part of our job is to work on making sure that everything that everyone makes at Apple is accessible. It's also about making sure that there's some really fun things to surprise and delight as many of the communities that we support as we can each year, and finding new ways and new communities as we move along. And I think this year, hopefully, is going to be another fantastic year of that as well.
Yeah, cool. And in a way, actually, I've heard people commenting that it's felt like a more inclusive WWDC in a way this year, because everybody's in the same position. Everybody's joining remotely. Because there's nobody on site. So it's actually a very inclusive WWDC, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think, you know, it's been a new world for us. But with things like the keynote, I think they really worked hard to try and make it something that was a really interesting, fun experience for everyone from remote locations.
Yeah, and it was a jam-packed keynote, I think it's fair to say. From, I suppose, from an accessibility point of view, what are the big ticket items for you guys this year?
Yeah, there are a lot of different areas. I mean, once again, we're trying to hit a number of different groups, and I want to have Dean kind of kick it off, I think, and talk a little bit about the work that the team has done on VoiceOver and some other features for Blind and Low Vis.
Yeah, one interesting thing is when you sort of, on the technical side of things, and when you're buried in the year, just sorting out details and what features will do what, and you kind of get sort of lost in the trees, and coming out for WWDC, you sort of look back and say, wow, these are some great features. You know, you sort of put things in a broader perspective. But VoiceOver has been a pretty big, we made a pretty big step this year. We've been working on utilizing the machine learning and the neural network software technology in the new hardware, and trying to figure out how we can make VoiceOver take advantage of that. And we started last year, I don't know if you guys remember, with automatic button labels. Mm-hmm. And so that was a technology that we used some heuristics to determine if a developer did not put labels on buttons, they forgot or whatever, we would try to auto detect that and would say, you know, possibly play button or possibly order button. This year we took it a bit further, quite a bit further. Now we can use that technology to auto identify elements. So if a developer did not put an attribute trait on a button or a table or a slider or a scroll area, then we would try to detect what that is through what we call screen recognition. And that had a lot of, you know, debate back and forth because, well, then that means developers don't have to do much work and we can just, but that's not at all what it's for. It's really for situations where a developer could have very good intention, but just forgot to label something or forgot to identify an attribute, or just, you know, didn't know how to make something accessible. And therefore just wasn't able to do it. And so we didn't want our users to have to experience that. And I'm sure you guys know, for certain apps that you use all the time, like I use the grocery apps to order food or to order groceries or the Lyft app to get a ride someplace. And it's so annoying that if they come up with an update and, you know, you go and put all these items in your cart and you're ready to check out, but you can't get to the order button or checkout button. And that can be a very frustrating experience. So we didn't want our users to have to experience that. And so we'll try to identify that stuff for you. But it also, we definitely still encouraging our third-party developers to make their apps accessible. And we think this technology will further that, because when they turn this on with VoiceOver and they're going through their app, and we encourage developers to do this, and they navigate over an item and it says possibly slider. Well, the engineer's going to say, wait, that's not possibly, that is a slider. So let me go in my code and fix it so that it is, says what it needs to do. So it offers our users a sort of a layer of protection so that they don't have to run across, you know, just mistakes. Just, we're talking software, and software, you know, oftentimes, you know, there's going to be bugs. That's just the reality of software. Another thing we did is better image descriptions. So currently, if you navigate over an image of, you know, a couple eating dinner, we might say two people, table with plates. But now we'll give a more context description of the image. So two people sitting at a table enjoying a meal, something like that. Because our eyes see something and we get the image, but it's our brains that interpret that into context. So that's one area, sort of VoiceOver recognition, image descriptions, better image descriptions. Another huge area that we're extremely proud of and very, very hopeful is in the area of software development. We have done a ton of work in making the whole Xcode experience not just better, but allowing our users to be proficient when using Xcode. So we've included a bunch of stuff in the rotor that allows you to easily navigate through huge chunks of code. As a developer, one of the things you have to do is be able to navigate other people's code and your own code very quickly. You can't just do line by line. You know, you got to jump to different sections. And then so that whole editing experience is much, much improved. The other area is in the Swift Playgrounds coding, making the live previews accessible. So you can type in a chunk of code, and then on the right side of the screen, you can navigate and actually see your UI live, which just wasn't there before. So that's all accessible now. And things like code completion, navigating breakpoints, all those things are crucial when you're trying to do, you know, real software development. And so we really think this is going to be a huge opportunity for people who are blind to, even if they just want to learn something about coding or they actually want to be a software engineer, this is going to be great for them. So really excited about that. Some smaller items, but huge. We've made some huge Braille improvements for both desktop and iOS. Auto panning for Braille displays is great for fast Braille readers. I have it on. I set mine to, like, I don't know, every 3 or 4 or 5 minutes to pan because it takes me forever to read Braille. But some users
I know
are
that
really
pain.
Quick. Mm-hmm. Some users are really fast. So we wanted to bring that experience to Apple's products. And then some other improvements for things like the languages. So we added a bunch of languages last year. I think we're up to like more than 82, but now we include it in the rotor. So if you quickly need to just switch languages on the, or I should say Braille tables, if you want to switch on the fly, you can do that with the rotor. So that's a really cool improvement.
That's cool.
Yeah. And sort of the last thing is we've now included accessibility settings in the watch setup. So if you need, you know, large font, speech, all that now is included when you go to set up your watch. And then we are bringing the rotor to the watch as well. So
very
those are
welcome.
Yeah, thanks. There's some really cool things there.
Yeah, so there's quite a lot there, isn't there, for accessibility this year. I think myself and Thomas were talking actually just beforehand about the whole recognition thing. It's got to be huge because, like, as much as we were saying, we want developers to do the work and to make their apps accessible, to even have a level of accessibility in apps that were previously completely unusable to us is a huge leap forward, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, I personally experienced this, and it's nice to know that, okay, there's a backup plan. You know, I can order my groceries.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Like you say, when it's, you get to that last point, you've got the whole fast food order or whatever it might be for put together, and then there's no order button.
Yeah, we were talking about how we were simply amazed by the new text and image recognition as an improvement. Mostly in our photos and App Store photos, we were never able to see. And those were like, oh my gosh, this is really clear and understandable. I got a question about the screen recognition, if you don't mind. Now, you're talking about are these missing elements that we typically find where there just be clicks and nothing's speaking to us? It'll actually just kind of recognize what's on the screen, such as elements like you mentioned about the sliders and things that were not spoken to us before, or these elements that we are able to see in VoiceOver just a little better in description?
So it's both. So when you swipe to some item and it clicks and doesn't say anything, that means that there's an element there that the developer did not promote in accessibility. They didn't say this needs an accessibility trait. And if they don't provide that, then VoiceOver will not see anything there. So this does both. It sees that, hey, you know, there's a button here, but AX doesn't know about it. And so we're going to pull it up. We think this is a button, or we think this is a slider. And so we're going to tell you that it's a slider.
Wow, that's huge. I can't begin to tell you how much progress you've, and you know, like you mentioned before, we just kind of touched on this last year. It was kind of a infancy. Now it's starting to grow on us, and being able to do this is just absolutely fantastic. I really love the new Xcode accessibility options you mentioned, because that was kind of a big thing we talked about last year, that you're making it more and more accessible for those that want to do use Xcode and program with it. Not only that, but you mentioned too is that you mentioned rotor. I'm guessing that's for the Mac. So you added some new rotor items in there for Xcode?
Yeah, these are specific for Xcode. So like jump to the next member function, there's a bunch of them. Jump to, I can't even remember off the head, but next scope. A lot of times when you're, especially if you're working with new API, you need to look at the header files and see sort of the functions that are in there and how they're supposed to work. And it's really useful for jumping around code, getting to code quickly versus doing line by line. Like I did a project, some coding stuff in C++. It's not even Objective-C or Swift. And man, it's just like working with some code that was probably written in the 90s. And it was pretty tedious back then. But today, like that experience would be a lot better if I had these improvements with Xcode. So we're really excited. We've gotten a lot of requests from people who, you know, just want to dip their toe in the pool and try out Swift and, you know, see what they can do, go through the, you know, everyone can learn to code. And now, you know, we can give, offer them a path to do that. And so.
Are you going to come out with your own apps now?
I'm working on it, man. I'm going to write my own OS.
Love that.
I was going to, about the screen recognition, is that available on particular devices? Because I know iOS 14 goes right back to the iPhone 6S. Does that particular feature?
So the recognition starts from 10S or the XS up. So 2018 and 19, obviously, 220.
Yeah. So that's the obviously the very impressive machine learning capabilities of those devices, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to hear about the Apple Watch, that you got some big improvements there. You mentioned about being able to use and set up Apple Watch solely by itself. So it's like the iPhone having VoiceOver baked in from the get-go, from the setup, mm-hmm. and introducing the rotor. That'll be exciting to see what's included and a nice feature to have.
You guys might have saw David Widbirch did a video. We also bringing out Braille support for the watch.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
So yeah, because the watch is starting to become more autonomous, you know, you can now make phone calls independently of the phone. And we realize that some folks who are deafblind may want to use their watch to do certain things like call 911, if they fall, to monitor their heart. So there are things that are independent on the watch that aren't on the phone. And so we wanted people to be able to take advantage of those functions who couldn't hear or couldn't see. So deafblind community.
Yeah, it's a great extension of how year over year we just try and look at what's an area that we haven't covered yet and try and make sure that we cover that off. So with Braille being available on so many of our other products, this was a natural extension to move into this area.
Oh, definitely. Among the Braille improvements that you mentioned about the Braille panning and being able to use Braille display in Apple Watch, are there other Braille improvements?
Other than a lot of performance things and sort of just bug fixes, we've did a lot of improvement. I don't know if you guys use the on-screen Braille for iPhone.
Yes, the BSI.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so that's been improved. A lot of bug fixes in there and a lot of performance fixes in that. So hopefully, you know, the experience will be even better when using that feature. And Braille input, that's always one. Having the separate tables for input and output, we've now introduced that to both iOS and the desktop. And so those are the main ones. I think the other one, I don't know if you've had a chance to play with sort of the math input stuff for Braille in Pages. That's another big area. So just it's constantly iterating over just different feedback we get from some really, really, really top-notch Braille users. And that's what we've tried to always improve on. So,
really quickly on the Xcode work that we've done, you know, I know we now know that Dean in his off hours is building his own operating system, but we definitely encourage others to really jump into this as well. And more importantly, to give us feedback. You know, I think our end goal is always to make sure that whether it is a young student, you know, being asked, what do you want to be when you grow up, and saying, I want to be an engineer, or someone who is, you know, already an adult looking at going into developing, we want to make sure that there's a next generation of developers out there that are members of the blind community, both from the perspective of employment in the community, but also from what that type of diversity coming into any company in the world can do to help anyone make a better app. So we want to make sure that the work we're doing is valuable and works well for the community. And if there are ways that we can continue to improve that, let us know. So I just want to make sure we have that plug in there that we want this to be something that turns into another generation or a new generation of great coders out there.
with any sort of job you get today, it's just one more thing. If you've had any kind of coding experience, it's just going to help you. I need to know with my kids, you know, they do some small sort of coding related activities, but it's very helpful in today's workforce to have, you know, you don't have to be an engineer, but at least have some knowledge of kind of how it works.
And it's great because it is a topic that pops up on the website every now and, you know, fairly often, you know, you see an Xcode related thread on AppleViz.com. So there's definitely a community out there wanting to do this. And again, I love that kind of acknowledgement of, we're not just using devices to consume. We're using devices like everyone else in society to work or wanting to work, you know what I mean? And so it's an acknowledgement of that as well.
Absolutely. Beyond voiceover. I know, is there anything beyond voiceover? But one of the other features that's kind of come up as a great sleeper hit this year is a feature we have called Backtap. And the idea behind Backtap is that by literally just doing a double tap or a triple tap on the back of phones. And this one is iPhones only. And it also falls into that iPhone 10 and beyond arena. And I think in both of these cases, there are hardware needs in order to make things like voiceover recognition and back tap work. So that's why these become 10 and beyond. But by doing that double tap or triple tap on the back of the phone, you can have it create a, or you can do a gesture. So it triggers some sort of a gesture. And so you can choose from a lot of different things that are out there. It can be anything from turning on and off a voiceover or any of the other accessibility features to accessing the accessibility shortcut if you use more than one feature, or you can do a lot of mainstream kind of general use things. You know, I have mine set up so that a double tap is taking a screenshot and a triple tap is locking the phone. But you could set it up if you were a switch control user. You can do switch control actions as a voiceover user. You can do different types of gestures and such. Dean, I know you have yours set up differently than mine. So what are you using these days?
Yeah, I might change it, but I have it so that double tap brings up the notifications and then triple tap will bring up the control panel.
That's the same as what I'm looking at doing as well, Dean.
that's the day.
I think it's because it can be tricky if you're using the phone one-handed to reach up to the top of the phone and do those gestures. So this gives you an alternative method to to get those. Yeah, I think that's it's such a small thing and such a big thing at the same time.
Yeah.
The back tap feature, it's great.
Yeah, it's been fun to see how it's been picked up so much around in articles across the board. Mm. So we actually had a developer the other day who posted a video about setting up the back tap to play a Rickroll video. so that's another thing. You can actually use your Siri shortcuts. And if you create a shortcut to do something, you could set that up to do that as well. So you could take a complex workflow and turn it into a single, you know, gesture of a double tap or a triple tap.
Yeah, that's so cool. And actually as well, that reminds me that I think we've spoken in the past about how, you know, accessibility being customization, you know what I mean? And this is a great example of that, where it's in accessibility, but there's probably not a person out there, Bertie, who couldn't use this or find this useful. You know what I mean? It's customization for everybody. It is an accessibility feature.
The topic, if you want to find the important features of iOS, just look in accessibility.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, our real goal is allowing you to use your device in the way that works best for you. So really that element of customization is huge for us. You know, we find there are accessibility features that are built for one community but have great applicability across the board and get used as more productivity by other groups. You know, all kinds of things that we see that happen with accessibility features. And as Dean said, it's really, I think, the heart and soul of what we build. But that's really just about making sure that you get the most out of our devices.
Yeah, it's nice to see a feature like that in accessibility that can also be used like people like yourself, Sarah, that do have sight vision. So it goes vice versa, but both ways, mm-hmm. Which is similar to the caption that you can now add to photos, which is more of a mainstream
I love this.
Feature, but it really is of a big deal for accessibility folks as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of really cool mainstream stuff that certainly does have accessibility implications and can be great for other communities too.
Yeah. You also, I think, wanted to talk about AirPods and kind of the increased importance that they're kind of having for people.
Yeah. There's a number of things we've done this year in support of, I guess, quote unquote, hearing, meaning everything from supporting those who are all the way in the deaf community to those who just want to get more out of using our products once again as well. So regardless of who you are, that you just want to have better usage of our technology. And some of those things fall into the realm of AirPods. There's a couple of different things that we've done this year in that area. One of them is something called headphone accommodations. And headphone accommodations is, it's a new accessibility setting designed to adjust certain frequencies, which can either amplify or dampen particular sounds so that you can better tune audio for each individual's unique hearing needs. So this can be applicable for music, movies, phone calls, FaceTime calls, podcasts, you know, whatever it is you use your device or, you know, to get sound. And the way that it works is that there's a new, in the accessibility settings, you'll find something called custom audio setup. And within that, you go through a series of, well, you can do two things. One, if you have your own personal audiogram, you could put that in there. So you can incorporate that. But you can also go through a series of sort of little tests that allow you to say, do you hear this better? Do you hear that better? And once you've gone through that process, you can set up to 9 unique profiles based on your personal sound preferences, which are really 3 amplification tunings with 3 varying strengths. And from that, then by choosing which one you want, you can then get your music and movies and phone calls and such played in a way that is better set up for your personal hearing needs. And that is actually available on AirPods Pro, the second generation of AirPods, some of the Beats headphones, and EarPods. But for AirPods Pro, there's also an additional little feature, which is great, which is with the AirPods Pro, there's a way in which when you're using them, you can move from noise canceling to transparency as options in using. So you can have it either I want no outside sound and I just want to immerse myself in whatever is the audio that's coming through the device, or I want to know what's going on around me. So I have the music playing or, you know, voiceover playing or whatever it might be, but I want to make sure that I have some contextual awareness around me. And with headphone accommodations, the way that you have set up your audio, your custom audio, is now available in transparency mode. So from that, it makes sort of quiet voices can be more audible and outside environmental sounds can be more detailed. So if you, for example, are a voiceover user who is out in the world and you want to have a little bit more contextual awareness of your surroundings, that just is tuned a little bit more to you than it would be if you just had transparency mode on in its baseline setting.
As someone who listens to a lot of podcasts while out walking, I can definitely see myself
I've turned this on and it works quite well. I mean, it's much better than the default. You'd be amazed of how much context you're given with this on.
Yeah. Another great feature that we've developed in support of the deaf and, in some cases, deaf-blind community, and I think there's applicability as well in some ways for the blind community too, is a feature called sound recognition. We know so much of the world, we have all these sound-based alerts and alarms and notifications and things that are going on around us, but are not always accessible to members of the deaf or the deaf-blind communities. So we added in a feature called sound detection, which will give a visual alert, a notification, obviously works with voiceover, to a user on an iPhone and iPad, where it an iPhone or an iPad, where it gives you that alert when a particular sound or alert is detected. So imagine if there's a smoke alarm going off or the doorbell chimes, you would get a visual notification that says there's been an alert, could be a doorbell. And this, you know, we're looking at realms around, human sounds, a shouting or, a dog barking or things like that, which, even just for someone in the blind community who hears something, but may go, might wonder what it is, to have that ability to get it a voiceover or an alert telling you, it seems like that might be X. Can be beneficial, but certainly for the deaf community and the deaf blind community, giving them much more information and awareness of what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be huge for things like fire alarms and smoke alarms.
Babies crying.
Yeah. Really, like where if you're asleep, you're not going to see the flashing light on your phone. So this being an actual...
Well, for myself, I get kind of tuned out with my headphones on, and I had this item on. It was quite nice to when the doorbell would ring and I get the notification and I didn't even hear it. And it was nice to see that.
Yeah. So we're really excited at the potential of this one to really just make things a lot easier for anyone and everyone to be able to better, interact with the audible things around them. Another thing that I think folks might be interested in hearing about is the fact that we've done a pretty significant upgrade to Magnifier. We know Magnifier is one of our most popular and beloved accessibility features, and it's an invaluable tool for everyone. I mean, certainly for those who have some level of vision loss, I am an eyeglass wearer, and I feel like I am fully reliant on Magnifier in my life, even with my glasses on, because there's so much just tiny print out in the world that I can't get. Mm-hmm. And so we know that it just gets used by everyone. And so we did some work this year on a number of different fronts. One of them is redoing the UI. So making it so that you have a little bit more control and flexibility in both how much real estate the Magnifier controllers take on your screen as you're using it, but also based on your preferences, what shows up. So you can choose what's the primary kind of controls on the screen when you're using Magnifier. So for example, the way that you use it is Zoom is the most important part for you, that can be the principal controller on the screen. But if, for example, you always go to the same level of Zoom, but you need to play around with the brightness in order to figure out what's going on, you can make that kind of a change so that that controller ends up being the primary one for you. So just in terms of sort of how it sits on the screen, there's some work that's been done there to make it a better user experience. But then you can also magnify more of the area that you're pointing to, as well as being able to capture multi-shot freeze frames. And that freeze frame element of this has always been a huge, huge feature that people have loved, being able to just capture an image and then be able to zoom in and out on it. But this way, you can work with those individual frames in their own way. So maybe you want to, filter one but not another, or illuminate images for better clarity. You can do a lot more to be able to move from one to the next and get more out of whatever you're looking at. One of the other things that is really cool if you're an iPad user is Magnifier is now also supported in multitasking. So it could be a great tool, particularly for students who are using it in a classroom, because you could have one side of the screen perhaps be on an educational web page where you're using Zoom to zoom in on that, and then you have Magnifier running on the other side of the screen when you're doing, for example, a science experiment. You need to be able to magnify in on whatever it is you are doing out in the real world.
That's interesting.
Cool. Or simply take notes or anything. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. So a lot of really cool things going on with Magnifier. I'm really excited about that one. And then I think, there's a lot of other things that we have worked on as well that may be of interest to folks. Things like in group FaceTime now, for a while we've had a feature where if you are speaking, it will detect that you're speaking and make you the principal image or principal bubble on the screen. Now we've done the same thing for sign language. So for someone who is a sign language user, when a participant is using sign language, it detects that and then makes that person the prominent person in the call as well. So really helping assist for the deaf community in making group FaceTime, which, you know, we know FaceTime is really highly used by the deaf community for communication. So it really just makes it another level of usability for that community. Another thing to bring up that we're really excited about is the, I feel like every time I turn around, I'm saying we're really excited about, because that is our whole week. We are just really excited about everything we've been doing for the last year. But, for people who are gamers, you know, Apple Arcade has become such a great experience for people to be able to immerse themselves in just these unbelievably, really in-depth, just games that are amazing. And so a lot of those gamers end up using controllers. So whether they be, you know, we've been supporting things, some of the Xbox controllers and PlayStation and such. And we've expanded our controller support this year. And one of the controllers we're now supporting is the Xbox Adaptive Controller. So that, for individuals with physical motor limitations, has become just a mainstay of, you know, being able to play games at the, you know, the caliber of others using different types of controllers. So we're really excited at the fact that this one's now come to the Apple Arcade platform too.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I was delighted when I read that, although I can't play too many of the games myself. I don't know, are you aware of any more, I suppose, voiceover friendly games coming into Arcade or onto the Apple TV in general? It's probably one of the most difficult areas we still have kind of in accessibility terms as the blind community, I think.
Yeah, I think it is, to your point, it is a difficult area and is one that, as we work with developers, much in the same way we do with apps, we always make sure to evangelize for it within, you know, the developer community. And I think there's room for things to get better. You know, I think with, certainly with all the work we've done this year around voiceover recognition, there's a lot of improvement we've been able to do for apps. And I, you know, games are a world all their own, but you know, we'll always continue to try and keep both through the developer community and through our own work to see what's feasible.
One example of that is there's a game out on the App Store called Song Pop, and that's a completely based on Unity, which is like a bridge that a lot of developers are going through to use to make it multi-platform. We've done some voice recognition on our screen recognition on that, and that's completely accessible. So that's a good example of, you know, how this recognition stuff is starting to improve even third-party apps. So
I'll definitely be downloading that this evening. Yeah. just because it'd be great to have an app like that to really get a good view of screen recognition, I suppose, mm-hmm. You know, how it is at its best. So yeah, that'd be cool to see.
Yeah. You introduce a lot of features, which is outstanding. It's awesome to have our listeners hear all these features. And you know, even the small ones, like you said, the back tap is such a big thing. I noticed too in voice control that we also have some new voices for our United Kingdom and India users out there. And I think that's going to be a great benefit too. So there's lots of little gems in there that might be hidden away, but well done.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. We'll be sure to share that back with the team because they have certainly been working really hard.
I suppose one other maybe quick question to ask then, which might be important to people in our community, would be around kind of the bugs and that kind of thing. Because I think iOS 13, certainly compared to iOS 12, was one of the bumpier releases we've had in terms of things like voiceover and braille and low vision kind of bugs. So I don't know, how's iOS 14 looking in that kind of respect?
Well, I think starting off our beta 1, we're getting a good response on stability. And I think that, you know, our team spends, well, year round, but certainly the summer timeframe, squashing as many bugs as we possibly can. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bugs that get dealt with over the course of the summer timeframe. And then We know that through the course of the year, we continue to try and make sure that as we catch new ones, we're always getting those. One of the big things about VoiceOver is it is so customizable. So there are often that when we get feedback from people who say, here's my particular configuration and I've found something, we work to try and make sure we get all of the different nooks and crannies, and we're going to continue to do that over the course of this summer. And definitely, as always, encourage people to download the betas and provide us with feedback and let us know where there are places that we can make sure we hit those before they go live. So we're going to continue keep working and doing everything we possibly can.
Great. And I suppose, yeah, if people are joining the public beta when that happens over the summer, I suppose it's a key message is to send in all those reports through the feedback assistant. And if you're using a live version, is to use that accessibility@apple.com email address, I guess.
Yes. Absolutely.
Report them all.
testing.
We hope not to hear that sentence too much anymore. Great stuff. So I think that about wraps it up. Just again, I'd like to thank you both, Sarah and Dean, for joining us. We really appreciate your time that you give us each year now, 3 years in a row. So thank you so much.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. We really enjoy talking to you all. Thank you.
And that was Sarah Herlinger, Apple's Global Head of Accessibility, and her colleague, Dean Hudson. It was really good to talk to them again, wasn't it, Thomas?
You know, it's always a treat to have both of them. They're both so insightful, and I love the excitement and enthusiasm that they both offer. And Dean, you know, you could just give him the mic all day. He could just talk about this all day long, and I love all the new features they discuss. There's so much more, too, that they didn't talk about, but they definitely included a lot of the bigger features. I'm really interested about the screen recognition a lot more. That sounds like amazing feature that I think that's going to be well adapted for us that have apps that are not very accessible. About yourself?
Yeah, saying the screen recognition is definitely one I'm very interested to see. I'm trying to think of some apps that I have tried using that I kind of wasn't able to that I can go back now and try it with, you know, trying to sort of think of.
I know, right?
Because I've probably deleted all those apps, you know what I mean? I gave up on them a long time ago. So now it's like, okay, can I go back and try these apps again with this? Things like the photo recognition, just getting that bit of context around, you know, somebody sends you a photo or it's a photo even you took yourself weeks ago, to be able to do that, you know, to get that kind of context.
Oh, definitely. I think our users are going to absolutely love that feature. I know that Dave and I have been using it, and we can tell you with no out of doubt that it is amazing. A big difference, I thought, in terms of what is being recognized and being spoken to us. I mentioned to Dave earlier that in an app store, for example, some of the photos for the apps were never spoken before, and now the Describe It even has text recognition what's on the screen itself. And I thought that, wow, this is really fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's funny when there's, it's not like last year where you had like the big ticket item of voice control was kind of the big new accessibility feature. I suppose screen recognition is the closest we have to that this year, maybe, but there's a lot of features, a lot of kind of just improvements, I think, in accessibility this year that hopefully we'll see.
I totally agree with you. I think that, We were spoiled last year when we got some significant features, and not that these aren't big features, but I have to agree they're more of a moderate range to minor, but there's lots of them, which is very welcome. Backtap, yeah. For example, that's cool.
Yeah, cool little thing like that. And it sounds like there's a real focus on hearing as well, which, maybe they think, okay, we've focused a lot on things like VoiceOver in recent years.
That's
true. You need to put a bit of time into the deaf community, and, you know, not least yourself and Scott and our team are members of the deafblind community. So there is a lot of crossover there.
That includes the low vision too. You just heard yourself that they made a major UI change and lots of little tweaks and bells for Magnify. So our low vision folks also got some love and attention too.
Yeah. Definitely. So I'm sure we'll be discussing it in bits and bobs over the summer and on your other podcasts. And obviously once this software goes out in probably September, if we're on a normal schedule.
Yep.
who knows, it might be October this year, but in the year that we're in. But whenever it happens, we'll have loads and loads of content, both written and podcast form, on everything that's new and how to use it and everything.
Yep, staying in touch with AppleViz throughout the summer. I'm sure that on the Unleash podcast, I will be going through all the features that is or not discussed here in accessibility terms. And I also will be covering all the mainstream features that are in those iOS 14 and such. So give that a listen. Watch this, the website as well, for any updates and news to give you.
Great stuff. So thanks again for joining me, Thomas. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Dave. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleViz Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.appleviz.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleViz and like us on Facebook.